Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
All right, 306. We're trying to put a ring on it. That's what we're trying to do here. And it's a big game. Now, today is a huge game here on the Fan. I think it's 4 o'clock start. Yankees, Orioles, Luis Gil on the mound. Big game for the New York Yankees. 888-808-1019. And, you know, Luis Gil's been great all year. And now this is the first real, you know, I was thinking about this after the game, after the loss. I mean, hopefully Judge plays. I don't think he will. And there was an opportunity. And this is what will frustrate me. I'll admit this. This is what's going to frustrate me about Aaron Boone and the Yankees. If Judge plays tomorrow, right, are you really telling me he couldn't pinch hit with the game on the line 12 hours earlier? Less than that. I mean, 24 hours earlier. I mean, he couldn't pinch hit last night. If he plays tomorrow, and I don't like to be that guy typically, but against the Orioles, are you really going to tell me that if he plays on Thursday, he couldn't just pinch hit with the bases loaded in the? I know that's early in the game, but in that spot, bases loaded, you put in a different outfielder, you figure it out. He doesn't have to play the outfield. You take your one crack at it, one at bat, that's it. But if he plays later today, it seems silly. It seems silly that he can't give you one at bat last night if he's going to play today. But they obviously want to give him the day off, hopefully get some swelling. I would think there's a good chance he doesn't play in this game either. So it's going to come down to Luis Gil. And this is really the first major test. Not that he hasn't pitched against good teams, and not that, you know, he hasn't proven himself over the course of the season, but this is really rubber match, everything going on. You know, a couple of hitters hit from both sides now. The way they lost this game last night in extra innings, the amount of bullpen pieces that were used. You know, Clay Holmes is not going to be available in this game. I guess that doesn't matter because he's terrible, but Clay Holmes has now pitched two nights in a row. They're not going to pitch him three nights in a row. So you go into this game without the closer. See what else. I mean, they went through everybody besides Weaver, I believe. So I think Weaver's available. He'll probably be the closer in this game. But, I mean, this is a very important start for him to come out and shut down, especially, and if the Yankees don't have Judge in the middle of the lineup, they're going to have to figure out a way to score some runs, and he's going to have to be very, very good. And I think he's one of these guys, too. Unfortunately, I'm sure, I would think Wells would be behind the plate tomorrow or later today. But he's another guy. He's one of these pitchers that don't do their catchers any favors. And while I'm certainly down on Trevino, it's amazing. This guy won the Platinum Glove 2 years ago. How funny is that? How funny is it that the best defender at any position in all of baseball, the light-hitting Jose Trevino, the great defensive catcher, the best defender at any position in all of baseball 2 years ago, his defense is arguably the biggest concern of the New York Yankees right now. How crazy is that? When he was brought here, it was a huge positive, his defense. And I understand he still gives you the pitch framing, which people are poo-pooing as they're stealing bases. It's still important. Pitch framing is still very important. You don't realize it, but stealing strikes throughout the game and throughout all these games probably is more important than holding on base runners. It doesn't feel that way, especially right now, as that's something that's killed them over these three losses in the last four games. But overall, it's still if you had a catcher, I would think you'd sign up for the great pitch framing than the arm that's going to stop guys from stealing bases when it's become easier than ever to steal bases. and pitchers aren't as good at it. And I think they're holding on runners. And I think that's been a major problem with the New York Yankees. Stroman's terrible at it. And he just, him and Trevino can't be together. They have to separate those two. I don't think Luis Gil's very good at it, a young pitcher, right-handed pitcher. Now, he throws hard, so he's getting the ball to the plate a lot faster. He throws 98, 99 miles an hour. But they're going to have to do some things to help Trevino. They're going to have to delay their timing. They're going to have to, you know, do a couple slide steps here and there. They're going to have to do something to try and curtail the base running because Trevino's not getting better. Like, I mean, he's not going to wake up tomorrow and suddenly be better at throwing runners out. But the pitching staff has to be much better. But this is an enormous start for Luis Gil. Like, we talk about, you know, Rodon has had a couple of important starts. He had the big game against Baltimore and, I guess, you know, Boston the other night. And in both starts, they've been his worst two of the year. Now, this is a spot for Luis Gil to really make a name for himself. Because, yes, it'll be, you know, a Thursday afternoon game and the whole world won't be watching. But this is their main competition. This is the team they're battling for. This was a very important series heading in. And even without Aaron Judge, there's no excuse for not winning it, especially when you look at the pitching matchup. So Luis Gil has got to be Luis Gil. This cannot be the game where he comes back to earth. It's just, it's not the game he can do that. He's got to find a way to be the same pitcher he's been this entire year. And also with the New York Yankees here and their thought process and Aaron Boone, I know you're trying to curtail innings. And I do want to get him to the finish line as a starting pitcher, and figuring this whole thing out is going to be very difficult. And ultimately, in most games, I'm okay with an early hook. But in this game later today, they just emptied out their bullpen. They need to win this game. You've got to be willing. And I'm not saying they haven't been necessarily, but it's going to start to change. But they're going to have to rely on Luis Gil deep into this game because they're not going to have their closer. You know that. They're not going to, it doesn't matter the game, they're not going to throw Clay Holmes 3 days in a row. They don't do it. You're going to have Tonkin and Weaver. That's it. That's the back end of your bullpen. Right now, even if they have Marinaccio, I don't trust them. Even if they, you know, Gonzalez, Ferguson, like, the, you know, they are what they are. Canely's, you know, still kind of working his way back, but right now I don't have a ton of confidence in Canely in that changeup. So, I mean, you're talking about, to me, let's harken back to my days of working with Mike Francesa. We need the A performance, okay? You need the A performance. I need to go right from Pettit to Mariano. No other pitcher hits the mound. That's what the Yankees need later today. They need Luis Gil, Tonkin, and Weaver. That's it. Those are the only relievers to hit. Those are the only pitchers to hit the mound. Gil, Weaver, Tonkin. That's it. So he's got to go deep into this game. They got to allow him to do it. He's got to pitch effectively enough to do it. But this is as big a game and bouncing back from this loss as the Yankees will have all year. And they're going to have to do it. And then for the Mets, it's about bouncing back too. It's very important. And, you know, obviously they lose. Alonso hits the home run. The bullpen kind of gives it up. A lot of you know, hits with two strikes. The ball just off the glove of Vientos. A disappointing loss, but a loss that ultimately, you can brush aside. It's something that doesn't have, it's certainly not going to kill you. They've done a great job here. They've won 8 in a row. It's their first loss in a week and a half. They won another series already. They haven't lost a series since getting swept by the Dodgers. They've had a great run. They're playing extremely well. The offense, it's hard to kill them on a down night, or, you know, it is what it is. But for me, I'm already looking ahead, because what good teams do, and I talked about it yesterday, about the Mets and how I liked what the offense did and what the team did on several things, on, you know, not allowing a deficit to linger, not allowing momentum of the other team to linger. They bounce right back. They score early. You know, they've done a lot of things that good teams do. And now what good teams do is bounce back from a loss off a long winning streak. And as much as, you know, every series is important, heading into Chicago is a big series. Because right now, in the standings, anytime you play one of these teams in the middle, as the Mets have now fallen back, as they are now chasing more teams, including they're tied with the Cubs right now. So they're going to, after today's day off, I don't know, I got to check what the Cubs are doing today if they're off. But as they get ready for a Friday afternoon game against the Cubs, where they could be tied in the standings of this wild card, they need to make sure they have as much of an advantage in this thing as possible, and that means winning tiebreakers. And right now, they split a four-game series with the Cubs earlier in the season. Whoever wins this series is going to own the tiebreaker. Now, it might be meaningless. It might be the difference of making the playoffs or not. So this game, this series against the Cubs, who have not played particularly well, who've won the last two and are 5-5 in their last 10 games. You have got to bounce back off of this loss. You have got to continue. You can't allow this team to do what it's done, really, like I said, dating back to the end of the 2022 season and that Atlanta Braves series leading into the playoffs. This team has been incredibly up and down. And if you want to be this team that's going to, one, compete for a wild card, two, convince this new GM and owner that they shouldn't trade away all their pieces, that they should keep J.D. Martinez, that they should keep Severino, that they should keep Manaea, who was, you know, throwing a no-hitter through five last night. If they want to convince them of that, if they want to have an opportunity to make the playoffs, you can't be the team that wins eight and then loses three. They have got to bounce back. And how you respond when you finally come off that ride, because there is a little bit of a letdown. There is a little bit of coming off the Grimace high, whatever you want to call it, winning eight games in a row, and then finally losing and getting on the plane. I'm sure they're in good spirits. They won another series. I'm not saying by no means are they down right now or lack of confidence. I'm sure the confidence is still high, but there is just this natural, like, oh, we were on this crazy run that has ended. And they are going to have to make sure that they get right back on the horse. This is a very important series, as they all are, for the Mets leading into the All-Star break and then ultimately into the trade deadline. But, you know, the two games against the Yankees don't matter. These are the games that matter. Even the game against these series against Texas, it's just about winning and playing good baseball, sure. But then, you know, it's not killer. These are the series right now against any of these teams. Any series against the Nationals, any series against the Cardinals, any series against the Pirates, the Reds, the Cubs, the Diamondbacks, the Giants, the Padres, any series against any of those teams are critical. And after you have the letdown, after your bullpen has a bad performance, after your starting pitcher loses it in the fifth, after your offense kind of goes quiet after taking a lead earlier in the game, after you finally come off that high-octane ride of an eight-game winning streak where everything went right, you came through in every big situation, and you ultimately come down, you have to get right back on it and continue to play good baseball. Because we've seen it from this team, good stretches, bad stretches. We've seen it in this season. They started off the year with a terrible stretch, losing the first five games of the year. Then Alonso hits that home run. They get the walk-off win that day. And then they went on and played their best stretch before this one of the entire season. They took care of the Reds. They took care of then they went into the West Coast and took care of the Dodgers. All right, I think the Pirates were in that stretch, sweeping the Pirates. That was their best stretch of baseball. And they went into Los Angeles and took the first two games of that series and then lost that last game of the series and then went on for a month of playing miserable baseball. A month. They can't allow that to happen again. This has got to be where the Mets continue to play their best baseball. And this loss has to be just a blip on the radar and not a defining turning point where it all went south. Because they can't afford a bad stretch. They can't afford to fall 3-4 games behind in this wild card standing as the deadline approaches, because I'm telling you, the owner and the GM won't give them the opportunity to get back into it. So this 3-game set against the Cubs is huge, huge for the Mets. And they need to get right back on playing well, score runs, pitch, and do what they've done over the last 15 or so games. And what they've done since that team meeting. And what they've done since Grimace threw out the first pitch. It was stupid. And I have to give Evan some flack. I'm sorry. My good old buddy Evan. I'm still waiting on the signed book that you told me you'd give me. Still waiting on it, Ev. But I saw a clip of Evan today on WPX with Mark Melusis. And I could not believe what I saw. If you haven't seen the clip, go to either the PIX Twitter or Mark Melusis' Twitter, or find it somehow. It's Evan on WPIX with Moose promoting his book, which is fine. Go promote your book. God bless you. Hope it sells a million copies. But he is sitting there, like dressed like a fifth grader on the last day of school. He's sitting there in his shorts. He's sitting there in his polo. It's just like, bro, you knew this was like televised, right? You knew this was a TV show. You knew Moose was going to be sitting there in a suit, right? I mean, it's just unbelievable. I know they're getting on him for a style. On the radio, sure, showing up today, you know, your legs are covered up, you're on SNY, that's fine. You can be in a polo, no big deal. You can't sit on a couch, an open couch, like The View, like, you know, like a talk show. Like you're on with Rachel Ray, sitting there dressed like a fifth grader. I mean, it's just unbelievable. The guy is just unbelievable. I don't know where that came from, but I saw the clip and it just made me laugh. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. All right, we open up to you, Met fans. How do you view the loss last night? Are you frustrated by it? Are you disappointed that you lost a game you should have won? A game you could have won? A game where your bullpen and, you know, obviously Drew Smith continues to be a headache for the Mets year after year. Reed Foley, who's pitched well for them, doesn't pitch well in this game. And you end up dropping the final game of a 3-game set against the defending World Series champs after you've taken the series, after you've had all this fun, after you've turned your season around. Does one loss bother you? Do you agree with me that this series coming up with the Cubs is as important as any they'll play so far this year? How are you feeling about your Mets coming off a loss, off this hot stretch? And then, of course, everything Yankee-related. As they drop the second game of a 3-game set against Baltimore, they'll play tomorrow afternoon. Luis Gil on the mound for the biggest game of the season.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 329, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Let's get to the phone calls. You can also hit me up on Twitter, at CMAGWFAN. Let's get to your baseball calls. Eddie in Dallas, Texas. What's up, Eddie?
Good, Chris. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
CMAG. Every once in a while, I have some trouble. Let me tell you something, and I'll start with just, I've loved Evan for years and years and years. And I'll continue to love him. I love him. He's a tremendous pro in what he does, and his career is unquestionably, it's great.
Sure.
However, you raised a phenomenal point. It is a real point. Is he listening at all? Like you cannot dress like that in general. And forget about the fact that it's a TV show, just the radio show, just in general. What is he doing? I mean, he got to the afternoon show with Craig, And that absolutely, you know, obviously the thing with Joe Bonino was huge always for a long, long time. Sure. But that was the in-between show. And now you got the shot. You're the afternoon guy. You gotta carry it. I mean, what is he doing?
In TV, it's particularly bad watching him sit up there because you get the short look. It looks like there's two adults in the room talking to a child. That's what it looked like. It was just...
There is no doubt about it. I mean, you're 1,000% right. That aside, the mess thing point that you brought out, and I'll leave Evan alone for the day. We'll cut him a little slack. But he really, hopefully, he's listening in there, and he's stuck to get the picture because you can't trust like that. That aside, I mean, you're a professional. You can't trust like that. But that aside, the Mets are exactly what you said. They cannot go into another slide. That could happen so easily, so quickly, that they could end up right back where they started. And hopefully they won't. That being said, he has the managers done what seemingly looks like a hell of a job, and they look like a whole entirely different team from a month ago.
It is crazy. It is crazy how much different they look and how much different they play. And I actually do. I think the manager has done a pretty good job considering everything and considering where they were. And he didn't allow them to, give up or get into a bad mindset. And I think he held players accountable, as you're still seeing with Jeff McNeil, although he pinch hit for him. He brought him in against Iglesias. I have no idea. For Iglesias, I have no idea why. He's a 200 hitter right now. It's not worth bringing him in. I don't know what they do with Jeff McNeil. It's a bad situation because just watching his at-bats are so putrid. But he's done a really good job, and I think he's made subtle moves that have helped. Like, it helped the offense. The offense was sputtering. Lindor was struggling and moved them to the leadoff spot. And it's been extremely positive for both Lindor personally and the lineup overall, which, clearly go hand in hand. But, yeah. And now, this is going to be the first time, right? They've talked about it, and I remember thinking it when J.D. Martinez spoke after the meeting or about the meeting, and talked about the idea that nobody believes in us, the old us against the world routine. And nobody believes in us, and there's no more pressure to win because nobody thinks we can, and there's no pressure to try and get back into the playoff picture because nobody thinks we can. And that might have worked for a time. It is going to be hard to tell themselves that as they continue to win and thrusted themselves right back into this conversation. Now there is pressure. Now they're going to have to start to handle the idea of expectations, because I think Met fans, even the most pessimistic, would tell you right now that they have somewhat playoff expectations considering how well they've played and how, let's be honest, how lousy the rest of the National League is. And like I said, considering if they win this series against Chicago, you're talking about, pretty much every team having, besides the Giants, having either a tied yet to be determined or an advantage over every team in the... Now, they still have some series. I think they got to play the Reds again, but they took the first series against the Reds. The Giants, they've lost to. The Cubs will be this weekend. The Pirates, they swept the first series. The Diamondbacks, they're tied. The Padres, they swept the series. The Cardinals, they are up 3-2 in five games with another one to play after a rainout gets... later in August, I believe they make up that rain delay, that rain out. And then the Nationals, they swept. I mean, literally every team, they either own the tiebreaker or are ahead with more games to play in the tiebreaker or are tied with games to play in the tiebreaker, other than the Giants. So, I mean, they're going to start to get into a position, if they continue to play like this, that there's going to be expectations for this team. They're going to thrust themselves. No one's going to say, things change. A month ago, it made sense. When that meeting was said and everybody got together, it made sense to say, hey, no one believes in us. Hey, all we have, let's just be ourselves and be true to ourselves, have a little bit more fun, because does it really matter? The season's already dead. That's what everyone tells us. That's what I heard that fat bastard at 2 o'clock in the morning call us dead. So there's no pressure here. Well, the pressure is about to mount. The pressure is back on. As they go to fly to Chicago, the pressure is back on. Now you can't lose this series to the Cubs. Now you can't start to lose games. Now you have to keep up what you've done. The offense needs to keep up. They've got to continue to keep playing this way. Otherwise, they're going to all get traded. But like, so there's that. There's many elements to this. But the other element is they've talked about how the lack of pressure has helped. They're going to have to figure out a way to continue to play this way as the pressure gets ramped up. Because there's no way, it's going to. It's just flat out, it's going to. I'm sorry to interrupt like this. I'm going to get right to Eric in 1 second. This has been by far, I don't know about you guys. I know there's always the spring and summer of high pollen and the sinuses are killing you. I haven't, and every once in a while, my sinuses aren't typically an issue for me, but every once in a while, I'm not immune to the occasional sinus headache or, you know, painful eyes or whatever else comes with sinuses. But this year, for whatever reason, and it's early, the summer technically hasn't even begun yet. Is today the first day of summer? I always forget. It used to, when we were kids, it was the 21st. Now it like changes depending on, you know, when the sun rises. I don't know. I always thought it was the 21st, but we'll see. Doesn't matter. My point is, as the summer is about to start, it is today, right? They consider today the first day of summer. Happy summer, everybody. The first day of summer.
Longest day of the year today.
Longest day of the year. Most sun. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. But I have never in my life, by mid-June, have had this many mosquito bites ever. I have been eaten up alive everywhere I go. And right now, I kid you not, I have the freaking biggest mosquito bite I've ever had in my life. It's half my back, and it's right in the middle of my back. And you know what? Here's the thing. Believe it or not, I don't take my shirt off that much. I'm not A-Rod. I'm not at Central Park sunbathing with my shirt off. All right? And I take it off at the pool. I was at the pool the last couple of days. I felt it when I leaned back in my chair. What is with the mosquito? Have you been bit a lot this year? I know you were out in... What was the mosquito situation out in Europe?
I don't think it was that bad there. Yeah. Where it was bad was I had to go up to Saratoga for a wedding last weekend. Right, and right. I've been going there every summer since 2007. Never, we were outdoors at a welcome party Friday night. Never in all the years that I've been going there has the mosquito situation been. Like, we left the party early because we had to get inside.
Yeah.
We were getting eaten, and it was hot, so I had the sleeves on the dress shirt rolled up.
Yeah.
I still have, like, you know, giant, like, the red welts on my arm that are finally, yesterday, they finally started to go down a little bit. You know, the blood, it's just, I've never had it that bad up there.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this year, never in my life. I mean, I've had the occasional... You know, we all get them. I have been inundated all over my legs, my arms, now my back. I've never been bit like this in my life. I don't know what's going on. Maybe this is, you know, like the, I guess people call them different things. I called them cicadas growing up. You know, it's like every 17 years. Like, cicadas come around every 17 years. They go into the ground, I guess they come back. Now, it's not,
there's two. There's the 17-year and the 13-year ones.
Right. Now, we see them more often than that because they're on rotations of 13, but like every once in a while, there'll be a big year where it's like, you know, it's a big year for cicadas, and it's like you see them everywhere, and the trees are as loud as can be, and there's like specialty years. I don't know what's going on if this is the year of the mosquito. Last year was what? The Chinese beetle?
Well, right? Did you hear about the giant, like the venomous spiders that are coming to New York City?
Great. The venomous spiders. No, I haven't heard of the venomous spiders that are coming to New York City. But last year it was those the Chinese beetles, right? You're supposed to kill them if you saw them. Every year it's something. Last year we were walking home from the bus stop one day, or we were doing something, walking back from the pool or something, and we just got a good look at like one of the tree trunks in front of my house. I mean, you couldn't even see the tree with how many of those like red colored, you know, moth looking bugs from last year that came over from China that you were supposed to kill as soon as you saw them or whatever. Like, we were inundated with them. And now this year, it's the year of the mosquito. I'm dying. And I just felt it. Oh, there's nothing worse than just feeling it. Because now I'm like, it's in my mind. I'm going to be scratching my back for the entire show now. I need a back scratcher. I got to bring the one my son made me. See if Eddie, have you noticed an uptick in mosquito bites this year? Has that been on your radar? Is for some reason you notice more than usual?
I have not myself.
Okay. Just me and Fleeks both have, and I'm dying. I mean, they're playing Connect Four on my back right now. It is just a disaster.
But I don't suffer like a lot of people. They don't bother me that much.
No? I suffer. I scratch and I suffer.
Eddie is just one with all the creatures.
Yeah, that's a good point. And he wakes up. The birds get him his new t-shirt every day. They come flying over to his, you know, to his obviously, you know, Death Star bed.
He's basically Snow White.
Exactly. He's basically Snow White. That's it. Unbelievable. Oh, I'm dying. And I've been scratching them. They've been so itchy. I've been scratching them that I'm getting these like, almost like golden, like emerald, like covering over them because they're oozing because I'm scratching them so bad. It's just been, like all over my leg, it looks like the Jurassic Park, you know, mosquitoes stuck in like that ember, like all over. That's that same color. I've got them like little hard things all over my leg.
Amber.
That's the word I'm looking for. Amber. I've got amber little crustaceans all over my legs. It's crazy. I don't know what's going on. Something's up.
Pretty picture.
Yeah, I know. Well, I do have great legs. It's the one part of me I try and show off. That's probably what it is. They're so attracted to the calves. Eric and Ronkonkoma, what's up, Eric?
Hey, C-Mac. Well, that just means that in about 60 million years, we'll be able to...
they'll be able to clone me. They'll be able to clone me. There'll be people walking around going, Brian Cashman was terrific. I mean, who the hell is Brian Cashman?
Oh, God. I don't want to... Well, we could do without that one. But, yeah, but you know what? There have been a lot of areas with really heavy rainfall, you know, up until like this past week. So it wouldn't surprise me if that's where all the mosquitoes are coming from. But anyway, getting to the mess. You know, the one thing that's been kind of weighing on me the last, you know, few days is, you know, the bullpen seems to be kind of shaking again. I mean, yeah. I know Sunday, and now they've been coming back in some of these games, which is important.
No
but
doubt.
I know, like Sunday, you know, you had like Diekman gave up like four or five runs in the eighth inning, and then even just yesterday, yesterday was more Severino, but last night was it Drew Smith? I think.
Drew Smith gave up the home run. Reed Foley gave up a couple of runs.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so they're getting a little shaky again in the middle. I mean, you know, but like you said, you know, just win series. I mean, you know, you're not going to win every game. We all know this. I know there are people out there who, you know, can't accept the fact that they lose any games, you know, no matter who the teams are that, you know, that they're rooting for. But, you know, if they could just continue to win the series, they'll catch up and they'll pass whoever they need to pass. And that's it. You know, they take two out of three from the Cubs, you know, that's
huge.
You know, perfectly fine.
Of course, perfectly fine. They have to go do it though. I mean, I'm with you. Two out of three is good.
Oh, of course.
I'm not demanding a sweep. Go into Chicago take two of three, win another series. Keep pushing that down the line. That secures you with the tiebreaker against the Cubs and continues winning series, or at least not losing series, as they haven't lost the series dating back to the splitting with Arizona. So like this is And splitting with Philadelphia. So they've split a couple series, won a bunch of series. They haven't lost a series since the beginning of the month. And you want to keep that going. No doubt about it. And the bullpen, listen, I agree. The bullpen, you're feeling better about Diaz, but they're going to blow some games. I mean, you know, Reed Foley's been pretty good. I guess, what's his name was, what's the reliever? I'm losing. Oh, what's the reliever?
Well,
Ottavino, forget. But no, you know, what's his name is sick or something, dealing with something, so he wasn't available for this game.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. But the, I mean, the bullpen's been pretty. It's been okay. It's been solid. But ultimately, yeah, Ottavino, you don't. There's like if there's not a ton of guys you trust. It's been a lousy bullpen for a lot of the year. Reed Garrett hasn't been the same pitcher he was to start the year when he was really one of the stories of baseball with how dominant he was. So, but ultimately, they've been okay. During this stretch, they haven't killed them. Last night, they weren't great. Diaz coming back off the injury has been right thrusted back into being the closer and has done a nice job. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not too worried about it yet. Let's see how they play against the Cubs. I think this is a very big series for the Mets, a very big series.
Yeah, and today being off there, too, I think you'll let them catch their breath a little bit.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that's a good thing. And certainly, look, the – now I'm not sure what the rotation is going to be going into that. I mean, you just had Severino and who pitched last night was
Manaea.
Manaea, right? So it's probably going to be Peterson and McGill and Quintana, I guess, for those games. So mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Quintana's questionable lately. You know, they just got to hope that they get some run support. I mean, the one good thing about Wrigley is you got the relatively short wall there. So, you know, as far as if they can get some power going, they could hit some home runs or at least, you know, maybe some, you know, good doubles or whatever. But we'll see what happens. Again, if they fall behind and they come back, then you know, you feel a little bit better just based on the performance. So, but, of course, we have to see how it plays out. Are they all day games, those three games?
No, Sunday Night Baseball.
Oh, Sunday night. Okay.
Yeah, so it's Sunday night baseball. But yeah, it'll be Friday afternoon, Saturday afternoon, then Sunday night baseball. And Dednell Nunez, excuse me, he's got a sinus infection. That's why he wasn't available for the game last night. He's been really good for them. So yeah, I mean, but these three games, it's going to be Sunday night baseball on obviously on Sunday night. But yeah, they've done a lot of things good. They've done what good teams do. Like, I've liked what I've seen from them where, I talked about this yesterday, they either jump out early, and they've done it against good starting pitching, too. I mean, they jumped out against Dylan Cease. They jumped out against John Gray, who had like a 2.17 ERA heading into the game. So, I mean, they've jumped out early and scored runs early. They've scored runs late. They've responded, which I think is a very important element to a good team. Because you don't want momentum to stick with the other team. And we've seen it a couple times throughout these Met victories where, you know, they would score, the other team would score a run, they would score four to make it a one-run game. Mets come right back with a big home run from Torrens and then score another three and answer right back with four. Like, that's responding right away in games. Not even just responding game to game, like I'm expecting them to respond on Friday, but in game. The other team takes the lead, you come right back to tie it. You have a big lead, they score a couple runs, you put the insurance runs right back on. They've done a real good job with that. And, you know, they've played just in every aspect. They've been better defensively. They've been better, I mean, pitching-wise. They've done a lot of things you want to see from good teams and good offenses. And it's just got to continue. Like, that's the thing, and this is what I talk about, and this is why people are saying, oh, you're a wet blanket. I'm not going to, first of all, I'm not a Met fan, so I'm certainly not going to hop on the ridiculous thing of the Grimace stuff. I don't care. And hopefully, are we done with Grimace? Was Grimace, like, the turnaround, or was Grimace the winning streak? Does Grimace still continue even though they lost the game? Because now it's just under the guise of, oh, well, they were playing well? Or was it a strict winning streak? They haven't lost since Grimace. Are we done with Grimace? I hope so, because I got to admit, I completely agree with Sal. I said the same thing. I completely agree with Sal. If I'm a Met fan and I have struggled all year long and I'm finally making headway and I'm playing and my team is playing the best baseball of the season, they're the hottest team in the National League. They're playing great. They're doing everything I would have hoped they would have done at the start of the year. It's finally turned around and instead of talking about the team, we're talking about Grimace. And I know no one actually believes that it's because of Grimace, but it's just stupid. I'm sorry. It's just silly. It's one a game or two. You want to have some fun with it. But, like, it became too much of a thing. And now hopefully it's dead, and we can just talk about how good the Mets have been. And you want to have fun with it? I don't want to poo-poo fun. It's supposed to be fun. Sports are fun. So if you like the Grimace thing, I'm not going to go all out and say, you know, you're an idiot for liking it, or, you know, cut this crap out. It's embarrassing. I'm not going to say it's embarrassing. I'm just, for me, I know if I were a Met fan, I would want to focus on how my team's turning around and not have to see them answer dopey questions about Grimace, or see all of these, you know, memes and stuff about, you know, putting, you know, superimposing Grimace over Diaz and having him walk out onto the field. Like, I mean, everywhere you go, it's Grimace, Grimace, Grimace. I'd rather be talking about J.D. Martinez. I'd rather be talking about, you know, Nimmo getting two hits a game. I'd rather be talking about Alonso waking up. I'd rather be talking about Lindor hitting 320 since moved to the Lido spot. That's what I'd rather be focusing on. I'd rather be focusing on this starting rotation that, outside of Luis Severino the other day, has pretty much done a pretty damn good job, despite not having an ace at all and, you know, their supposed ace on the shelf the entire year. That's what I'd rather talk about. And hopefully we're talking about winning a series against Chicago. Howard in Forest Hills, what's up, Howard?
Yeah, hi, Chris. I'm no mosquito expert, but I have some advice that might work. It sounds like you're suffering. So first of all, don't wear shorts, wear cotton pants. I know you said you like your legs, but you have a choice.
I can't. Then I'm hurting me and everyone around me. I can't just hide the legs on the cotton pants. I'll try. But, I mean, it's hot. I wear shorts from late March to October. That's just, if I can wear shorts, right, I wear them. But I hear you. Okay. If I'm really suffering, I'll have to change.
Okay, so try a calamine lotion.
Okay.
All right. I don't know. With me, it just turns everything pink, but it's worth trying. Here's a good idea. Go to a camping store, because they have all kinds of insect repellent, because when people go camping in certain parts of the country, yeah, they get bit by every kind of bug. All right? So go to a camping store. They're really good stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know why, but mosquitoes are attracted to certain people, and others, they don't are attracted. My sister gets mosquito bites all the time. I get maybe one a year.
Mosquito bite a year?
Yep, that's all. Well, they don't, I mean, like me.
And you step outside your house?
I wear like one of those beekeeper suits. You know,
You must.
No, I don't get them. I don't know why. There's a reason. I don't remember. And don't scratch. That just makes things worse. All right. Don't scratch.
All right, thanks, Dad. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I'm just saying, it's not. The talking about the scratching it and then having that amber thing, the amber color harden as it oozes, that's a little bit gross, but that's just, it speaks the severity of it. I'm not really, you know, sitting up night going, oh, I'm not crying in bed and I can't sleep. I'll be okay. I've just noticed an uptick in them. I've never had this many by this point of the summer. Like, I can't even count. I got to be in the 20s. I have to be in at least the 20s, maybe the 30s, with the amount of mosquito bites I've gotten already this year. There's no doubt. And maybe even not just mosquito bites, fly bites or whatever. I've been bit at least by something, one or the other. I've been bit by some sort of insect. It's got to be I'm in the 20s. Has to be. It's crazy. And now in weird places, like right in the middle of my back. I was at the pool today. I must have had some guy land on me right in the middle of the pool. And this is a mosquito bite. Man, he must have been there for a half hour. I hate mosquito bites. You know what the worst is? You know what my least favorite thing on this planet is? I'm not kidding. My least favorite thing on this planet. If I could avoid this for the rest of my life, I might die a happy man no matter what else happens. My least favorite thing on this earth is chap lips. I hate it. Do you know why I hate it? I hate chapped lips for several reasons. One, just the nature of the chapped lips. Anytime you smile, you open, you crack your lips just doing anything, it makes it harder to eat things, drink hot things, drink cold things, drink sweet things, drink whatever. Like, it's just the whole nature of it. But what makes for me personally, what makes chapped lipstick, chapped lips, the I just gave away the answer. What makes chapped lips the worst in my, for me, is I hate the remedy almost as much as I hate having chapped lips. There's something about covering your lips in that wax or whatever. I hate the feel of it. I hate the taste of it. I hate the texture of it on the under part of my lip where I don't have a problem. Like, I just hate everything about, you know, chapstick. I hate it. So not only do I hate having chapped lips, but I hate the remedy. I hate everything about it. I would say, I don't care. I'll go the whole summer, get bit once a day, and scratch until I rip my skin off. I'd rather have that than chapped lips. They are the worst. And I'm also weird with heat. Like, I feel like they, I always put them in the, like, if I'm in the car and it's cold, I don't care how cold it is. You get into a car and you put the heater on, you know, obviously, I hate heat blasting in my face. Like, you turn on the heat, it's coming through the center console or, you know, the center dash, and it's, like, blowing in your face. I hate it. I cannot stand heat blowing on me. I have to point it all the way up or point it all the way down. I want to heat the car up because I don't want to be cold, but I can't have the heat blowing on me. I cannot stand it. And it's this, I always conflate the two. They always make me feel kind of the same. Chapstick and heat blowing right on me make me feel the same way. It's this uncomfortable sort of thing where I feel like there's film on me or something. Can't stand it. So it took a year for you to learn about my my dislike for chapstick and chapped lips. That's the worst. We learn something new about each other every day. I try and, you know, we're a family here in the overnights.